Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Steve Salmers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, as advertised, Joey Silvestri, now living on Long Island, 88 years young. Joey, first of all, thanks very much for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. First of all, we were just in our opening monologue, basically spent on that night of May 15, 1957, and I have to say, a terrific article. This is where I got the idea to have you on. I'm sure you read it last Sunday.
Yes.
In the New York Times, a great feature on not only you, but also, of course, that night where you really, you know, made a difference between the New York Yankees and, of course, that bowling team from Washington Heights.
Yes.
Tell us how that all began. With the Yankees showing up first, and then this bowling team from Washington Heights, they were sitting pretty close to the Yankees, and everybody was there at the Copa to see Sammy Davis Jr. Tell us how things started off.
Well, actually, I wasn't working that night because it was Sammy Davis' last night, and Sammy and I had become friendly, and Sammy and I used to draw guns like old-time Western fighters. And he was going to do the tricks Wednesday night. So he says, Joe, make sure tonight, blah, blah, blah. I said, but Sam, I don't work on Wednesday.
Right.
He said, Joe, come on, you got to come, you got to come. P.S., I came. And the reason for that is Mr. Podell didn't like the workers to come in and, like, you know, mingle with the guests or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went to ask him, could I come? He'd say no anyway. So I said, what the hell's the sense of asking him? I'll just come in. And aside from that, Mr. Podell liked me. I think I was his favorite because I did so much stuff there. But he liked that we had a good relationship. Anyway, so I was there as a guest. I was sitting at a table with Sidney Poitier, his wife, two nice, nice people, mm-hmm. Harry Belafonte and his wife, and the man that made the costumes for the girls in the show. So it was naturally a table right off front seats because I didn't want to be seen by Mr. Podell.
Right.
So that's what I was doing. When the actual situations arose, Paulie's my partner, and Paulie was working upstairs. And when the Yankees come in, because it was Mickey, Billy, Whitey Ford, Johnny Cooks, Yogi Berra, and their wives, naturally Mickey said, you know, where's Joey? Where's Joey? So Paulie said, Joey's off tonight. Joey's off tonight. No, no, get in touch. We got to talk to Joey. Well, anyway, they sat them down. The guys from the bowling team sat down, and they were pretty well juiced. Had I been working, and I don't know where Paulie was when this initially started, because Paulie, like me, if we worked the door, people that came in that, like, you know, were drunk or feeling a little good, we wouldn't let them in. we wouldn't let them in because the boss didn't want drunken people coming into the place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to make a long story short, P.S., they came in, they were noisy, and they started to be verbal abusive to Sammy. And initially, Hank Bauer went over and said, you know, fellas, we're with our wives. You know, it's really, you're using a lot of profanity. Would you please cool it? And they didn't appreciate that, and they told Hank Bauer to get lost. So Hank sat back down. He went and sat down. They kept it up. They kept it up. They kept it up. And it really got to be out of hand. So then Billy Martin went over. And Billy Martin went over and told them so many words. You know, cool it. Now, if you know Billy's history, mm-hmm. Billy's a tough guy. No two ways about it. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect. I had a lot of respect. He's no longer with us. May he rest in peace. But Billy told them in so many words to cool it, and they told Billy, get lost, otherwise we'll take you outside, this and that. Well, you tell Billy Martin something like that, you got an automatic fight on your hands, and P.S., they started to get up, and they walked out. With that, Murray, who was the manager of the lounge, came over to me at the table, and he said, Joey, Paulie's having a problem, and I think it's going to be a big, big problem. So when I heard that, and now I had to get up, and I had to go to my friend Paul, just like he would have done to me if it was, the situation was in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, I can't walk across the whole showroom, so I walk around the back to where the fight was going to be, and I pushed the people out the door, and it was like a domino effect. And a couple of guys fell down. One of them was Billy. And this guy that was the troublemaker, the guy that I hit, he moved to the side as I pushed everybody down. So he was like a little behind Paulie. And he had his hand cocked to throw a punch at Paulie.
Uh-huh.
So with that, I hit him with a left hand. I hit him with a right hand. And the rest is history.
Now, who else, well, Joey, let me just ask real quick here.
Sure.
Who else might have, now, the story, I mean, that I was reading about you on that particular night, that you threw the only two punches?
Oh, that was that it. Were, that, that was
I
the
mean,
fight. I was going
mean,
to say that to you, buddy.
Yeah,
there was
yeah,
in a
yeah.
fight. There was
right.
two punches thrown. A left hand, a right hand.
That was
guy,
it?
That was it.
That was it, and the guy had the bowler.
Yes.
Who was really getting out of hand because he had a concussion, a broken nose, and
right. a broken jaw.
A broken jaw, the whole thing with two punches. Now, let me ask you this. The cops came and pulled Bauer. Why was Bauer taken to the precinct and charged? Why?
The reason being, that night, Hank Bauer was wearing a brown suit.
Okay.
I also was wearing a brown suit.
I see.
So they thought the guy with the brown suit threw the punch, which is true, but they're saying it was Hank Bauer. They didn't know it was me.
I see.
You understand?
Uh-huh.
And that's why Hank Bauer got, he bit the brunt of the whole thing because he was wearing a brown suit.
I see. Now, I love the quote that I was reading with Mickey Mantle. Someone asked Mantle about Billy Martin. Somebody had said to Martin, one of the bowlers apparently said to Martin, Joey, let's go outside. And Mantle was to remark later on that all he had to do was ask Billy to go outside once.
Right.
And he was going to be going out. Now, was he involved in a fight outside the club?
Who?
Billy Martin.
No, nobody. So this way you understand and say emphatically, no fight.
Okay.
Two punches, a left hand, a right hand, over and out.
I see. And yet, I understand that Ford and Barra, they were benched. And, of course, Bauer was taken to the precinct and eventually cleared.
Yes.
Of the charges. And was Mickey Mantle involved in any way with what was going on?
No, not at all.
Right. And that was it for the fight. And usually the press covering the Yankees, and they didn't report this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, that what was off the field was off the record, and yet this got front page play. And of course, George Weiss, who was the general manager of the Yankees, wasn't happy about it. Eventually, Billy Martin gets traded, and I understand that Ford and Barra were benched, and eventually Bauer was cleared of charges. So a lot going on. Now, was this common at the Copacabana? I mean, it was a classy nightclub. You were working at a world-famous nightclub. Yes. There's no question about it. It's a part of American folklore, American lore, Americana, and everyone has heard of the Copa worldwide. You were only 24 years old, and yet you were the man, weren't you?
Yes, but I wasn't working. Remember, I didn't work that night.
Right.
I did not work on that. I wasn't working.
Right. No, I understand. But you were called to help out.
Well, I had it. It was my partner. What are you supposed to do? I mean, I couldn't say, Murray, what do you want me to do?
Right.
I mean, as much as I was worried about losing my job, my friend was still going to be involved in the situation. I couldn't just sit there like a jerk.
Right.
So
right.
I went there. Hopefully, you know, you don't anticipate going in there and getting into a fight. You're hoping you could quell the whole situation. But it was beyond that at that point. You know, these guys had no respect for either Mickey Mantle, Billy Martin, Hank Bauer, or the Copacabana.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And the question, was this a common thing at the Copacabana? Well, you know, any time in my book, I don't know if you read the book or not, but when I was a kid first starting out in the business, I always said, wherever you got booze and you got broads, you're going to have brawls. And, you know, you had a fight now and then.
Booze but, and broads and brawls.
Yes.
I see. So I mean, those were the days. Now, were you, I mean, you were 24 years of age. How did you get the job at the Copa?
My brother-in-law, Leo, who's passed away. So many friends have passed away.
Yeah.
His very dear friend, Julie, was one of the guys working at the door. So he asked Julie to get me an interview with Mr. Podell. So Mr. Podell interviewed me, and he liked me. I mean, you know, I was 24 years old. I was in great shape. I was a nice-looking kid.
Uh-huh.
I looked good. Mm-hmm. And when he interviewed me, he said, listen, I was supposed to go to work as a bartender because I was in construction at the time. And he said, listen, I don't have an opening right now as a bartender. Why don't you come to work as a waiter? I said, Mr. Podell, I'm not a waiter. He said, no, just come to work. In a couple of days, I'll have an opening as a bartender, and I'll put you behind the bar.
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay, if that's, you know, what you're going to do, great. So I went to work. And I went to work. They gave me a waiter's jacket, with a, you know, big white jacket with a red border and gold buttons. And I worked one night. I worked the second night. The second night I was there, I said, I'm not going to be no waiter. I don't want to be no waiter.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess God was watching over me. Mm-hmm. And Julie, Paulie was off that night.
Mm-hmm.
Julie was working. He gets into a scrap with a big guy, a yokel from out of town.
Uh-huh.
And Julie was having a hard time with him. And I came over and I assisted. And, you know, I took care of the guy. And, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to get the job now. I'll get the job and I'll wear a tuxedo. But when Mr. Podell found out how the fight went and again, you know, he didn't know me at the time, just mm-hmm. from the interview
right.
when I sat with him. And instead of him coming over, who I thought he was going to praise me, he berated me. He said, who the hell are you to start this, and that? So,
uh-huh.
and then he walks away. So I went downstairs, I gave the guy my waiter's jacket, and I walked out.
Sure.
So I'm walking down 53rd Street. I'm going to catch the train and go home. And Julie comes running after me. Joe, where you going? I said in so many words, listen, nobody talks to me like that. I thought I did the right thing. I said, Joe, come on. I said, no. Julie, thanks. I appreciate it. He said, Joe, if you come back, you'll get the tuxedo. Bloop. I made a U-turn. I went back, and I got the job and started the next night working at the door in a tuxedo.
Well, and so, you know, the bottom line is that this story still has legs. And even though today's Yankee fans, I mean, and today's newspaper people, I mean, baseball fans, they always knew that that the Copacabana was famous for some brawls. And I think there was a quote from one New York sports writer at the time that America had two great battlefields. One, Gettysburg, and two, the Copas Kitchens.
That's a bit of an exaggeration between you and I. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said before. But, you know, to say that it was a battlefield, no. Any place, even a store club, what was fancier?
Uh-huh.
What was fancier than the store club? Occasionally, they'd have an altercation of some kind. You know, it's human nature.
Yeah.
You know, guys drink, they get a little drunk. A pretty guy, girl goes walking by. Guy tries to make a pass at her. Goes back to the table, and she tells her husband, this guy, you know, tried to grab me, et cetera, et cetera. It's things like that happen. But like an everyday occurrence, no, definitely not.
Yeah. See, the sad thing is that we know now that Mantle and Martin, too, had drinking problems. And, of course, back then it looked upon as cool, and it was looked upon as, you know, just, you know, another. And still today, I mean, people drink, of course, but certainly it was very cool, and athletes didn't take care of themselves. Mantle always said that if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself.
Yes.
And of course, this particular night, May 15, 1957, a pretty good example. A lot of celebrities were at the Copa. Tell us about, and you have mentioned, I believe, in that article, that a lot of celebrities were phonies, but ball players were regular guys.
Yes, they were, because I mean, there was nobody down to earth more than Billy Martin. I mean, Billy Martin was a terrific guy. I had a lot of respect for him. Mm-hmm. And Mickey Mantle was just a beautiful, beautiful young man. A beautiful young man. Yeah. And we got along great. And you could talk to them. A lot of show people, and don't get me wrong, not that I'm putting him down.
Right.
I didn't do that. But they had an air about them, you know, and like, I guess that's why they're in show business. They like to show off.
Right. And tell us about Joe DiMaggio, because I know that if he wanted some privacy eating at the Copa, he didn't want anyone coming over asking for an autograph or anything like that.
Correct.
You would be between any autograph seeker and Joe DiMaggio wanting to eat, correct?
Yes. Did you know when Joe walked into the place, and it's really, you know, they usually talk about, you know, when a beautiful woman walks into the place, all eyes are on her. Joe DiMaggio would walk in. Number one, he was such a stately character. Like, you know, everything about him, he was a class act. Right. He was nice to talk to. Very, very quiet. He sat down. Uh-huh. If you ordered a drink, you'd have a drink. Uh-huh. And Mr. Bordell made sure that if I was working, I would go by the table and make sure nobody would ask him for an autograph.
Uh-huh.
And if Paulie was working, he would just do the same thing. So that's what we would do with a guy like Joe DiMaggio. He was just a class act, perfect gentleman, perfect, and a tremendous ball player.
Oh, for sure. Now tell us about Sinatra and you know how he was. I think he liked you a lot. I think he wanted to take you out on the town one night himself, didn't he?
Well, he wanted me to go to work for him. That's what it was.
I see.
He offered me a job.
I see.
And with Sinatra, like they say, the air about Frank Sinatra, I mean, it was amazing because, you know, he would walk in and he'd always have an entourage with him because, you know, he couldn't walk in by himself.
Right.
And when he came in, we had to do the same thing. Either Paulie or I would be at the table, wherever he was, and make sure, like, if he had to go to the men's room,
right,
I would walk him and I would go there first, make sure nobody would be in the men's room, so he could go in, take care of business, walk him back to the table. And he was such a, like I say, the how would you say it, the charisma that had him, like, you know. And everybody that knew him, like the wait staff, just to give you an idea, the wait staff, now, he came in, he would go to the lounge, right? And he wouldn't go down to the show unless he wanted to see the show and see somebody. So he came into the lounge. They loved, and you know, the Copacabana had the best Chinese food in New York City. The best. Anyway, he'd sit down upstairs with his people, and at the night, he would get the check. Frank would give out $100 bills to everybody. So anybody was there, he would give them a $100 bill. So the waiters, a couple of waiters, would come up from downstairs and just stand by the table when Frank was leaving, and they'd get $100. So I'm at the door. I was nowhere near the table. And little Tony comes over, and he wants to give me $100. And I said, what's this for? He says, it's for Frank. I said, thanks, but no thanks. I wouldn't take the $100. And I don't know if he ever remembered it, but anyway, they offered me a job. And my wife just gave birth to my second child, my son Joseph. And I refused the job. And he says, why? So, like you say, 24 years old, I wasn't so hip and sharp at the time. And I said, well, you know, I don't have any suits to wear. And he said, don't worry, Frank will get you all the suits you want. Mm-hmm. But I didn't take the job.
And I see. Well, did he want you to be like security for him?
Yes.
I see. Because I guess he knew that you could throw a punch.
Well, I guess. But you know, they more or less know people that worked in the place, and at that time, we had a pretty good rep. Paulie was a professional fighter. Paulie was a great man. I mean, Paulie could handle himself like forget about it. So reputation goes around. Two guys, et cetera, know what they're doing. And years later, Jack and Trotter, when Jack and Trotter left the Copa. He went to work in Las Vegas at the Sands, and he came back to New York, and he offered Paulie a job. And Paulie then naturally says, well, you know, I'm partners with Joey. He said, well, take Joey, which is no problem, you know, but I didn't go to Vegas. In a way, I regretted that. I would have liked to go to Las Vegas, but it wasn't meant to be. That's it.
And tell us about that Mickey Mantle, who obviously liked you also, he wanted you to run his motel in Oklahoma?
Yes. He was opening the motel, and he said, Joey, and you remember Mickey talked with a real drawl at that time. You know, he became a lot more sophisticated, but in that time, he talked with that, I guess, drawl from, you know, Commerce, Oklahoma, and he said, come to work. Manage that place for me. I said, I didn't even know where the hell Oklahoma was. I said, he wanted me to come to Oklahoma. So I didn't take that. But Mickey was just a wonderful, wonderful person.
And you collected debt for some family members, as we might say, after your days at the Copa?
Yes, yeah.
I see. Yeah. Wise guys.
Yeah. And, you know, like I say, my reputation was a good reputation.
Yes.
And, you know, they said, could you do me a favor? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And but don't get me wrong. That wasn't my livelihood. You know, if I did a favor, that was it.
Right.
Something I did. It wasn't, like I said, my livelihood was working at the Copacabana.
Right. And at one time, I mean, I'm sure, I mean, I think everyone at one point or another in their lifetime has heard of the Copacabana as, you would say that it was the number one nightclub in New York City for a number of years?
Maybe in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, who hasn't heard of it? I mean, from song, from movies.
Well, and yeah, you know what it is? Entertainers, and I'm talking singers, comedians, and dancers, you know, they put on their resume, they worked at the Copacabana.
Yeah.
They could work all over the world.
Right.
You know, you have that on your resume, you have God bless the work anywhere in the country and anywhere in the world.
Right. And was Rocky Graziano, I know he used to go to the Copa a lot, too.
Yes.
I met him once some years ago before he passed away. So he was a frequent visitor at the Copa as well?
Yeah. And Rocky was a good guy. I liked Rocky a lot.
Right.
And like I said, Rocky, being a professional fighter, regular guy, nice guy, neighborhood guy. And you see, guys like that you really don't have trouble with. The guys that come in there, and like I say, a lot of out-of-towners goes, yeah, we would have had a big tourist attraction. We're big tourists. So they come in there, you know, and not really knowing what was going on.
Right.
And, you know, and like they come in 6, 8, 10 people with their wives or girlfriends, whatever.
Right.
And they weren't hip enough to know what was going on. That doesn't mean everybody. Yet people came and they were in awe.
Sure.
They were all at the Copacabana because they'd be looking for celebrities, you know. So you had a good mix of people, but there's always somebody who gets a little juiced and looks to get in a fight. It happens.
Well, that's right. Well, Joey, listen, it's late. I know it's late for you, and we really appreciate you giving us a couple of minutes of your time. It's a fascinating piece. On New York nightlife. It is a fascinating story with you and the New York Yankees. And you know, it's just a part of not only American folklore, but New York City folklore, New York Yankee folklore, and you're very much part of that. And the picture I saw of you in the paper, you're still pretty good looking.
Thank you.
Not a problem. And you sound much younger than your 88 years. So, you know, God bless you and continue to stay strong and continue to stay safe and healthy. And I can't thank you enough for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
And believe me when I tell you, I certainly appreciate it. I thank you very much. And I got to thank David for the article in the Times. He did a wonderful job. He's a very, very nice young man.
Yeah, it was on the front page of last Sunday's New York Times Metropolitan section. And
right.
It's usually a section that I don't look at. I mean, I look at some of the other sections, but the Metropolitan section I kind of pass. But I couldn't miss the picture of Bauer. I couldn't miss the picture of the bowler whose jaw was broken, and the front page of the New York Daily News. This was on the front page 2 days later on Friday morning. And what I also noticed, Joey, about that front page of the New York Daily News, it only cost a nickel to buy
Isn't
the
that
paper.
Something? And now the Times is $6. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, listen. Hey, thank you very, very much for your time. Stay safe and healthy. And again, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
You too. Joey Silvestri. And remembering very well, I would imagine that, you know, like a lot of us who may not remember what you might have had for dinner 24 hours ago, here was something that, well, it's a part of nightclubbing and New York City and the Yankees being there and Joey Silvestri. The only two fighters, everyone thought maybe it was Martin going to get into a fight. And George Weiss did not want, he didn't want Billy Martin and Mickey Mantle, the young Mickey Mantle, to be influenced by Billy Martin. George Weiss was not a Billy Martin fan, knowing that he was a few feet away from trouble at all times. And, of course, this did it for Billy. He hated to leave the Yankees, but soon after this incident was traded to Kansas City. And Bauer was originally charged as the guy throwing the punches. But no Bauer, no Billy Martin. Mantle wasn't involved. Ford and Barra, they were benched by Casey Stengel, and they really were not involved. More spectators. The only two punches thrown, as we were talking with the puncher, was the two punches thrown by Joey Silvestri, who did some damage, and that's what his job was at the world-famous Copacabana on the night of May 15, 1957.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.